Doctor Who, Siege of the Silver City, by Gavin McHugh.
Read by Tony Galichon.
"Where are we going?" asked Alice as the engines of the TARDIS moaned into life. "As I said before," the Doctor replied, "you'll find out when we get there." "But wouldn't it be safer if we knew after the last trip?" Alice said, trying and failing to appeal to the Doctor's protective side. "I mean, what is safety if there's no fun?" "Is that a historical quote?" Chand asked. "I believe it might be," the Doctor mused as he typed away on the TARDIS computer screen. "Then who said it?" Alice asked, jumping in. "Me. A few seconds ago," the Doctor cheerily replied, much to Alice's frustration. It was at that point the screen came alive with a flurry of images, and below, in front of them, a heavenly plain emerged upon the screen. The rugged white mountains glowed, and the dew-sprinkled grass glistened as the sun bathed it with light, and the river was a long stream of gold. "Wow, truly is wonderful," Chand said. "Alice, Chand, we've reached our destination. Welcome to Xentos, the planet of peace. We are currently flying over Plateterriere, the silver plain on the outskirts of the planet's capital, the Silver City ruled by the wise and, I must say, beautiful Princess Alexandra." "Yeah, Doctor, I suppose it is nice. It's like a fairyland. Only, well, you know, real," Alice said, for once lost for words. "And where would have been the surprise if I'd have told you, eh?" And before she could answer that, a bleep of the TARDIS monitor and the finger of Chand silenced them both. "Doctor," he said nervously, "what is that black blotch?" "Blotch. Chand's getting technical again. Alice, let's have a look." 500 miles below, an army of soldiers coated in smooth black armour marched on, oblivious to the frantic behind-the-scenes movement. In a control room some miles behind them, the flight path of the TARDIS was being monitored. "Sir, we have a situation. There's an unknown craft above the advancing troops," said a robotic tone identical to that of his brethren. "Is it one of us?" said a dark voice which seeped through the speakers, causing even this emotionless warrior to flinch. "No, but then fire," it said simply. And with that, the contact closed. There was a push of a button, and 10 seconds later, the sky was turned red by laser. When the lasers hit the TARDIS, no one expected it, and no one, therefore, was prepared. The console exploded, and sparks showered the unprepared victims. The Doctor was tossed limply across the wall as Alice ran to help him as a second flash of sparks and flailing wires grounded her as well. The laser fire crippled the TARDIS's flight and hurtled towards the ground. A minute might have passed. Maybe an hour. Maybe all of time could have passed before the weary travellers emerged from the upturned travel machine and staggered forward to face an awaiting party. The soldiers in front of them were dressed simply, a silver coat-like armour covered grey cloth underneath. But the silvery image of the pistol-like weapon glowing red at the end told the TARDIS crew that they were dangerous. "Who are you?" the leader barked, a bold man with short black hair coating his head and a thin black beard nestling across his face. "I'm the Doctor," the Doctor muttered, and this is... And before he could finish his sentence and introductions, he collapsed. With an escorting military force, Alice and Chand half-supported and half-carried the Doctor into the heart of the city that the TARDIS had crashed in, which gave them the chance to take in the scenery. Like the natural plains, the city also gleamed. The building blocks were a wonderful silver, each majestically piercing the sky as a series of breathtaking skyscrapers. The Doctor was right. This would have been a truly awe-inspiring visit had it not been for the welcome they'd received. Chand and Alice stared into the eyes of the people who stared back at them, watching, wondering who they were. Alice saw that their eyes seemed to gaze into an endless tunnel of blackness. They were depressed, she figured. Unbeknown to her, Chand and the Doctor, the unseen army which had struck a blow to the TARDIS was devastating the Silver City. The populace was trapped and surrounded, which left them with the knowledge that the end was near. As they finally emerged from the labyrinth of skyscrapers, they entered the maze's heart, and like a safe, concealing precious treasure, at the centre was a true prize. The floor was coated with silver cobbles, and leading into the centre of the city was the princess's palace. A dome reached up to the heavens, and around it sprouted countless more skyscrapers, twisting and spiralling like cream on a cake. Each was bigger than the last, leading to one great structure at the top that was covered in mirrors that, when the sunlight touched it, beams of brilliant golden rays spread across the city. At the bottom of the building, a simple square protrusion took their focus, for it was there that a girl emerged. She was young, barely 17, her skin was a radiant olive, and a mane of long, flowing auburn hair framed her small facial features. A diminutive white tiara encrusted with pearls, rubies and diamonds sat on top of her head. This was the girl the doctor had spoken of, the wise and brilliant Princess Alexandra. She approached the group and spoke softly but firmly. "You were visitors, then?"
"Yes, we crashed," Alice began to explain.
"We were shot down," Chand added.
"And he is?" the princess inquired, looking to the doctor.
"He's the doctor," said Alice, feeling uncomfortable introducing the doctor, as it was him who normally dealt with such matters.
"If you don't mind my asking, what's going on?"
"Dark times. Our end is in sight," said the chief soldier, with the rugged dark hair.
"I will speak, General."
"We are under siege, and the enemy has opened up little contact for negotiations. But we'll fight on. We always have, and we live in paradise because of it. Every day they ask us to surrender, and we say no."
"And you are mad because of it, Alexandra,"
the general retorted acidly.
"General, I do not call you by your first name, therefore you will not call me by mine, and we will never surrender. We cannot,"
she said, staring out into her city, like she was staring out into eternity.
"I will not let my people fall into anarchy."
She paused and sighed. "We must take this doctor to the palace to receive medical attention," she added, trying to divert her mind from the crisis. Alice suddenly felt alone as she and Chand watched some soldiers take the doctor into the palace. Without the doctor, they were vulnerable, and without him, they felt the fear of the situation sink in. And then it began. A voice echoing across the city, shaking the structures, causing debris to fall, but the volume of the omniscient voice silenced the city. Its dark, evil, and venomous tones shaking the foundations of the besieged metropolis.
"Princess Alexandra, this is your final chance. Your people are on their knees. Only a weakened wall separates you from us. And in a few moments, that will not spare you from my might, my anarchy. So I command you now, abandon your spirit and throw yourself on my mercy."
There were a few brief seconds as the general looked at the princess, his glare almost threateningly telling her to surrender. But the princess held his fierce look and yelled out to the voice,
"I will be second to no one."
The reply was simple. A flaring red light screeched through the sky, and a second later the walls around the city howled out in agony as waves of energy blasted the weakened defences. The darkness had begun. The army choked slowly forward, a darkened brethren striding in a singular motion as their leader had prophesied.
"What's happening?" Chand asked frantically.
"I believe you'll find," the general said, directing his scorn at the princess.
"This is the beginning of the end."
Regimentally, the black-armored soldiers surged into the city. They ignored the people's screams and their pleas, and when a few silver city soldiers emerged to offer resistance, they were ruthlessly gunned down. Gradually, the invading army were taking the city.
"We need the doctor," said Chand.
"He's hurt," Chand replied Alice, who was trying to hide the fact that she was shaking like a leaf in the high wind.
"Then what do we do, Clever Clogs?" retorted Chand.
"Stumble along," Alice muttered, "and hope we get it right." Before they knew it, soldiers had surrounded the princess's party, and from between their ranks, their leader appeared. Like his soldiers, he was also coated in black. A leather coat hung from his torso, hanging low, making it more like the Reaper's gown. The darkness continued into the shadowing dimensions that were his eyes.
"Identify yourself," the general said, raising his weapon. "I am the man who spreads fire when he walks. I am the leveler of civilizations, and where I walk, anarchy follows. Which is why I was cursed with the name the Anarchist."
As the Anarchist moved forward to the entrance of the palace, Princess Alexandra walked up to face him. The pair, now so close, seemed to emanate power, turning the air to rock, making it difficult to breathe.
"I have an idea," Alice whispered to the princess. "Just keep him occupied."
"We will discuss negotiations then," the princess stated. "There will be no negotiations. Fall to your knees and bow before me, or the anarchy will begin."
"That will not happen," the princess said slowly and angrily, her teeth clenching down.
"You will comply with my words," the anarchist boomed.
"Now, Chand," yelled Alice,
and with that the door behind the anarchist slammed down. His army and powers were severed from his possession. Alice and Chand swiftly produced pistols, and with the weapons in their hands it took all their willpower not to fire.
"Not bad," the anarchist laughed. "I expected something would be done."
A fiendish smile crept across his stone-like features.
"Order your men to retreat,"
Alice shouted in her best tough macho voice.
"I don't think so," he mused, clicking his fingers.
Chand felt the prod of the gun barrel in the back of his head and heard the general's rugged voice. I currently have a gun to the back of your skull. If any resistance is met, I won't hesitate to fire. You won't even know you're dead. What's the meaning of this, general? Yelled the princess. The meaning of this, Alexander, is that I don't want to die, and if I have to sell my soul to survive, so be it. Nothing is worth dying for. If your father had known that, he'd be alive today, and we wouldn't be left with a patriotic little brat running the city to its death. How long have you been planning this? She breathed. Years, and guess what? Between you and me, I was the man who sold your father out. It wasn't an accident. It was me, he said, smiling on the verge of sick laughter. With tears welling in her eyes, the princess lunged for him as an angry shriek launched itself from her mouth. She'd barely made the second step before an orange light rocketed into her chest, throwing her across the room into the wall. Alice whirled around to see the anarchist wielding a gun. Drop it or I shoot, murderer! Alice shrieked in shock. She's stunned. I was finding her irritating anyway. You shoot, I'll shoot. We'll both die. Think I care, Alice snarled. I think your friend might care when he's shot as well. That's true, Al, Chand stuttered. I would. Alice dropped her gun, and the next few moments were a blur as the door opened and the anarchist soldiers entered. She and Chand found themselves being grabbed, held down, and the shadow of the anarchist engulfed them as he looked down and laughed at them. You think you've won? Think again. Chand spoke, his voice strained with rage. We're not here alone. We have a powerful friend with us. You'll regret this. I look forward to meeting this friend, and you know what? I'm finding you irritating. So night-night. And with that, two shots struck Alice and Chand, and they were consumed by the darkness of sleep. Forcing their eyes open, Chand and Alice found themselves in an open hall. In front of them was the princess, and in front of her a glass table. There was a piece of paper on the table. The anarchist towered over the princess with a smile on his face as he watched her squirm. Well, we've yet to see your powerful friend, the anarchist told Chand and Alice, clearly a coward. So, my dear princess, let's just skip to the surrender. Sign it or they die. Everyone will die. I promise your people will burn. The princess looked around her. She felt totally powerless. All her life, her spirit had kept going, her sheer will and commanding voice enough. But the anarchist was a wall, and her powers couldn't dent his smiling face. There's no hope. Sign it. He repeated. And think yourself lucky that I'm so generous in victory.
No hope. Now, hang on there. Don't I have a say about this,
Came a casual call from the entrance to the hall. The doctor stepped forward into the room.
Doctor!
Chand and Alice cried in unison.
Who are you? Demanded the anarchist.
Well, I'm the doctor, as they just said, replied the doctor. From his jacket pocket, he produced his sonic screwdriver and pointed it at the two advancing soldiers. There was a brief flicker of blue and the two staggered back, and as they retreated, the doctor advanced, sticking his hands to their necks and pulling away a glowing tube. And with that, they collapsed.
You killed them!
The anarchist moaned, half in horror and half in admiration.
What do you mean? Questioned the doctor. These are just genetic parts stuffed together and forced away by energy cylinders, the doctor explained, pointing to the glowing tubes.
He shook his head in disappointment. Their every existence is wrong, and that isn't life.
You're good, Doctor, very good, but let's just show you how wrong they are, he said and clicked his fingers.
With that, the remaining soldiers pulled away their helmets. Housed upon their robotic bodies were the heads of velociraptors, red scaled with black streaks striping their faces. They howled in anger and pain every second of their existence was torture.
You think you're so impressive, don't you? The doctor said, nodding his head and smiling. But I've seen it all before, you know. I have been around so long, lost count, actually. I'm very, very old. I've seen the meddlers and the masters, emperors and evil, and you, the anarchist, claim to be different.
But of course, I mean, bottom line is you're just another villain, aren't you? The doctor stated.
Another stuck-up genius who got too big for his boots. What size are they, by the way? 12? Anyway, you're just, well, trivial. Catch.
The doctor tossed down the glowing energy tubes. They smashed, and for a few seconds the hall was lit with a white light, making vision impossible. When the anarchist opened his eyes, all were gone. He'd watched galaxies burn and people die long-drawn-out deaths with the knowledge it was him doing it. And he had observed all that devastation with absolute calmness, never truly caring until now. This doctor had intervened, and he was different. So different. Marching out of the hall, he saw the group running away. He watched as the princess, Chand, and Alice hastily dived through a doorway. The doctor stood at the edge of the spiralling staircase as the anarchist fell into view. He called out to him.
Who will you choose to chase then, eh? A troublesome princess or the man who will stand against you? A man who will deny you complete victory at every turn?
The anarchist opened fire. A fireball flew over the doctor's shoulders, and as the doctor ran up the stairs, the space behind him was filled with the orange flames from the anarchist's gun. The doctor breathed rhythmically, his footsteps a beat which wheeled him on to the light ahead. When he reached the apex of the palace, he turned and waited for the anarchist to emerge. A few seconds passed before the dark form of the anarchist appeared.
Perfect, Doctor. We are now at the top of the Silver City Palace, and this is your last chance to surrender.
Oh, so we are. One question, though.
Question?
The anarchist growled.
Yeah.
Very well,
muttered the anarchist nonchalantly, as he reloaded his gun.
If you're so good at science, answer me this, the doctor said, with his familiar grin of impending victory emerging. To operate an army of that size, he began, pointing with his thumb over his shoulder, you'd need a master switch, which I believe is that control on your wrist. It regulates the energy distribution to your little army, well, quite big army down there, and if I say a sonic frequency were to get hold of it and happen to, oh, I don't know, hypothetically, of course, reverse the polarity of the said energy distribution, what do you think might happen?
I tire of you, Doctor, and your blathering. This is the end.
The anarchist raised his weapon. With the anarchist's weapon pointing at him, the doctor gave a regretful smile and pressed the switch on his sonic screwdriver that was in his trouser pocket. In an instant, the sonic frequency tripped the anarchist's master switch on his control unit, and every soldier across Silver City shook as the golden glow of energy was sucked from their bodies and returned en masse into the anarchist's control unit. And that power began to overflow.
What have you done?
Cried the anarchist as flames started to consume him.
I did say,
replied the doctor, looking down at his feet. And I am sorry. So sorry. The returning energy peaked and the anarchist was engulfed. The doctor watched as the roof gave way under the anarchist's feet and his charred, lifeless body fell with a thud into the room below. As the doctor left the palace, he was greeted by a cheering crowd and the three familiar faces of Chang, Alice, and Princess Alexandra.
You made it, then, said the doctor.
Well, it was the three of us versus an army, and we had laser guns, Alice said smugly.
Well, except the princess here. She used a stone pillar.
The guns were slowing me down, the princess said, as the angry image of the traitorous general was marched away from the palace, his nose bloody from where the pillar had hit him.
Well,
don't get used to guns, said the doctor.
All those years of PlayStation shoot-em-ups finally come in handy,
Chand beamed, stroking his gun.
Chand, put that down, said the doctor.
Gun should never be the answer, he stated. Sorry, replied Chand.
What happened then, doctor? Asked Alice.
Well, simple reverse of energy from the robots back to the anarchist control unit. Result, no more anarchist or army.
Well, doctor, we are eternally in your debt, smiled the princess.
Oh, don't thank me, princess. I suggest you focus your emotions on rebuilding your city and looking after your people.
Oh, said the princess, a little taken aback.
Very well.
Good luck, said the doctor, who turned and began to walk away.
But, doctor, cried out Alice, they're going to have celebrations.
Come on,
replied the doctor over his shoulder. Chand and Alice looked at each other.
Well, take care, princess, Chand said, giving her a wink.
Yes. Yeah, good luck. This is the most beautiful city I've ever seen, stated Alice.
Come back in a few years. It'll be even more so, the princess promised.
Well, we'll try, replied Alice.
Chand and Alice rushed to catch up with the doctor.
You okay, Doc? Chand asked.
Yes, the doctor replied.
Why didn't you want to stay? Asked Alice.
I just watched a being burn to death because of me, the doctor replied.
But he was evil, Alice said, trying to reason with him.
It would have killed everyone.
I know, but...
The doctor paused and looked back on the city.
I wish there'd been another way.
Oh, of course, stuttered Alice. So, what about the TARDIS, asked Chand as they carried on walking.
Yeah, it crashed, remember? Circuits fried, console broke apart, Alice said, running to keep up with the doctor's fast strides.
Yeah, damaged beyond repair, Chand concurred. One thing you need to remember is that the TARDIS is a living thing. And one thing about living things, the doctor said as they rounded a corner to where the TARDIS had crashed, which seemed to have a platoon of fallen robots around it.
Is that the heel?
And another thing you need to remember is, continued the Doctor, taking a breath, is what?
To remind me to put the TARDIS shields up.